among you, whoever wants to be great must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the willing slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to surrender his life as a ransom for many. It is not simply a matter of fun and game to be a servant of Jesus Christ. Just because it's you, they said it to me when I announced to my family and friends that I wanted to go into the ministry, and they stopped laughing about the prospect of this most unlikely one entering upon this sacred profession. And when they had regained their composure, they said, "Oh man, it's a very difficult life." And do you know? They were absolutely correct. It is difficult to be a servant of Jesus Christ. In our text, our Lord Jesus uses the word diakonos, servant, servant, slave. And what do they imply? A life of ease? Simply a matter of fun and games? Not on your life. Rather, to mention just a very few, the pain of misunderstanding, the agony of lack of appreciation, the humiliation of rejection, the empty feeling of teaching to partially empty pew, the falling prayer in the middle of the night, but more, the sheer heartbreak of seeing a person whom you've come to love become sick and die before your eyes. Of seeing two members of your congregation break up their marriages and families in divorce. And spending two or three years taking a confirmation class only to see one or more of the members of that class never take communion again after confirmation day. Of having one of your faithful members turn his back upon the church and never again enter the doors of that church. Not because he didn't like you, not because the word of God was not being preached, but because the time of service was changed, and he would have to change the prayer time of his Sunday gospel. There was a time when I thought that Dietrich Bonhoeffer was murdered when he said, "When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. I think so no longer." This is precisely true. There are many kinds of dying. The servant of Jesus Christ experiences a great number of them. In our text just read, the brothers James and John requested Jesus that they sit one at the right hand and one at the left when he comes to his glory. Christ asked them, "Can you drink the cup that I drink and to be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. His reply is, "You will drink the cup I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized." And these words were precisely fulfilled. James becomes the first of the apostolic band to be martyred. While John, the disciple of love, finds himself exiled on the island of Patmos and perhaps even buried in error, if tradition is true. Every great step forward in human history has taken a trial. To mention a few, close to our hearts, the founding of America, the expansion of the frontier, the establishment of Lutheranism, the beginning of our church body, and thousands more, and then to look at our text and to see there the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom to a man. I focus only, however, upon the negative. There is a key
congregation formed, a pure doctrine formulated, a mighty church body established, and in the death, the suffering, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, what has been achieved? Nothing less than the forgiveness of sins for all of mankind. Without it, we who are scarred and marked by sin, we who are falling short of the glory of God, would be lost. But his cross, his suffering, his endurance of cross, his death and his resurrection, we who trust in his cross are granted the gift of eternal life. The writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews bids us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, look at his joy which is set before him, enduring the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. To gaze upon the cross of Christ means to die and then to live. To die to the old ways, the old life, the old ambitions, the old goals and objectives, and then to come alive in Jesus Christ, to the new life in Christ, the life of forgiveness, the life of gratitude, the life of love, the life of servanthood, the life of dedication to the work and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is, my friend, as we live with this crucified and ever-living Christ in his word and in his sacrament, that we are able to say with Wilhelm Lohr, what do I want? I want to say it. Whom do I want to say? The Lord, in the person of his first suffering slave. And what is my reward? I say neither for reward nor thanks, but out of gratitude and love. My reward is that I am committed to serve. And if I perish in so doing, if I perish, I perish. For Esther, who after all did not know him, who for love of me perish, and who will not let me perish. And if I grow old in this service, and my heart so slow like the palm tree, and the Lord will satisfy me with grace and mercy. To be a servant of Jesus Christ is not simply fun and gain, but it opens the door to a life of the greatest satisfaction that a man can experience. To know that this feeble life of man, through this life, the hurts and the sorrows of mankind are healed. The gospel of eternal salvation is declared. Christ's kingdom is extended, and his will is done upon earth as it is in heaven. Peace, my friend, and grace.